I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live.
It's only just a matter of.
Welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, my friend Tom Doyle was supposed to join me today to talk about a faith update from the Middle East, and we haven't been able to get a hold of him. He and I were just texting literally an hour ago, and so he knows he's on, and maybe, okay, we got him, we got him. Yay. You know what? To work in live radio, can I just tell you, you need nerves of steel. And I didn't start out with nerves of steel. And I would just tell you, I still don't have nerves of steel. I get that little nausea thing going on. But hey, we're good. So I want to just tell you about Tom. We are going to be drawing from his book, Standing in the Fire. In fact, we've got four copies to give away today. The subtitle is Courageous Christians Living in Frightening Times. And this book, I've said this before about Tom Doyle's books. You literally have to remind yourself to breathe because they read like novels. There's just one heroic story after another of Muslims coming to faith and then their life suddenly being in danger and the persecution in the Middle East. These stories like live and breathe. So you don't want to read them at night before bed because you won't sleep. But we've got four copies to give away today. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing. That number is 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Hey, say a little prayer for me because I need to bring my heart rate down now just a little bit. A few of the things we'll talk about today are orphans and the secret police in Syria, the Gaza Strip Underground Church, Christians in Pakistan, that they're set free from slavery, and that Jesus' church is still growing in the number one worst place in the world to become a follower of Christ. Guess where that is? Well, it's no longer China. It's actually Afghanistan. Can you even believe it? We'll get Tom on in just a second. A quick announcement. Set Apart Conference is coming up March 4th and 5th. I'm super honored to be one of the keynotes alongside Rebecca Lyons. And also, I'll be doing a featured workshop with Dr. Troy Spurl. We'll be talking about hormones, weight loss, sleep issues, autoimmune, building a healthy immune system. It's going to be fun. We're going to laugh. We're going to have a great time. All that information is on the website, setapartconference.com. I pray that you'll join us. It's going to be great, and it's coming up soon. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Tom Doyle is president and founder of Uncharted Ministries, an accomplished author, popular international speaker, pastor, minister to the unreached, and veteran tour guide in Israel and the Middle East. His book, Standing in the Fire, was a finalist for the ECPA Book of the Year in 2018. And we love this guy. Tom, welcome to the show, and I forgive you.
Great to be with you, Susie.
How are you doing?
I had the wrong number for some reason.
Hey, yeah. Well, it all worked out. Good to hear your voice today, sir.
Great to be with you, as always.
Yes, looking forward to the conversation. And we know this, we start every day talking scripture. And I'm just wondering what the Lord's been talking to you about these days in your own life.
You know what? Joanne and I have been talking a lot about expecting God to do miracles. And we have a podcast. We actually had J.P. Moreland on the podcast, and he's a theologian, but he talked about the miraculous and what he's seen. And he said, why is it that so many Christians in the West are kind of embarrassed about miracle stories? Could it be that they've seen things on TV that didn't add up, or what is it? But they just associated kind of goofiness with it at times. But we should expect God to do the miraculous. And we've been reading about the kings in Israel. And in 2 Chronicles 16, Asa, King Asa, started off really good, Susie, like some of the kings did, but then didn't end up so good. And the Lord says this toward the end of King Asa's life, two things that really stand out. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. So for those of us that are suffering, and for some reason believers in the West are getting sick, believers in the Middle East and around the world are being persecuted, but this is what's happening right now. But the Lord's eyes range throughout the earth to strengthen those who are fully committed. So we should expect it. But then it goes on. In the 39th year of the reign of Asa, he was afflicted with a disease in his feet. Though the disease was severe, even in his illness, he did not seek help from the Lord, but only from the physician. And listen, we have a lot of medical people in our family. Our son Tommy just married a nurse practitioner. She works in cardiology. We thank God for medicine and good doctors that we can go to here. But as a Christian, shouldn't our first response be to God? God, I've got this headache. Would you take this away in Jesus' name? And so that's what we're concentrating on, Joanne and I and several on our team, to just make God our first response and not some of the luxuries that we have here in America, like good medical care.
Well, we sometimes look at our prayer and seeking God as a last resort after I've tried plan A, B, C. And as you're talking, Tom, I don't mean this to be off topic. I don't think it is. But as you're talking and thinking of, you know, when we see things, especially on TV, where maybe Christians take things out of context and sensationalize them, I would say, like the prosperity gospel, like give this money and you're going to get this thing, kind of, right?
Yeah.
And then sensationalize quote unquote miracles that you find out later aren't. What happens, and it's so unfortunate, it's just what the enemy wants, is then Christians get cynical and jaded and throw that stuff out, and we're like, and don't even want to have conversations about finances or faith. And yet Jesus spoke so much about those things. And what I think, Tom, is if we're throwing that stuff out, ultimately when we stand before God and give an account for our faith and what we did with our time, treasure, and talents, we're not going to be able to point to the televangelist who turned us off, because Jesus is going to say, what did you do with my promises? What did you do with what I entrusted? And I feel like that should wake us up to go, you know what, the days are dark, so let's pray bright light, bold prayers in Jesus' name, you know?
Amen. Well, you know, when Jesus cursed the fig tree, and as he was walking, there was no fruit on it, as he cursed it going into Jerusalem, the disciples were amazed in Matthew, it's 22, I believe it is, and 21. And so Jesus curses the fig tree, and the disciples saw this, that it withered, and they were amazed. And Jesus replied, truly, I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to this fig tree, but you can say to this mountain. And Susie, he probably was looking at the mountain that the temple was on right in front of them as he was going up to Jerusalem. You can say to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea and it will be done. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. And you know what, Susie, as I read this verse, I don't see an expiration date on that. Do you?
I do a show called Intercessors Insights, and we bring up, you know, behind the scenes intercessors on the show to hear what they're saying. And one of them, Shannon, said the Lord said to her, you know, the days are so dark, your prayers should be bold, even bolder still. I'm ready to answer bold prayers if you're ready to pray them. And that kind of stuff just fires me up, because we can settle into kind of self-preservation and expecting so little. And God is, you know, so much greater than we give him credit for being. So, wow, I love the way you started out the show, Tom. So fantastic.
Well, praise God.
Amen. So talk to me. We have so many topics we want to cover today, but maybe just start here. And it's sort of a 30,000-foot view of things. But give me your sense of just of the times we're in, the things, you know, just the state of things in our nation. What is the Lord saying to you just about where we find ourselves today?
Yeah, I think there's a spirit of confusion in the world today. People are looking for leaders, and they're not finding them, whether it's in government or in different areas. And I think the problem is, and we've all done this, it's too easy to get our worldview from the news. And that's not where we're supposed to get it. Some of the things that are happening in Ukraine right now with Russia, we knew that Putin was going to try to do this and get back the old Soviet Union and regather it. And so it shouldn't surprise us. But I think as believers, we have to be more on our knees than glued to the television. We need to know the times and understand them. But we really need to be on our knees, because the intercession of the believers throughout the nations moves the heart of God. And so we need to really be in prayer. And of course, in our area, Susie, throughout the Middle East, just persecution is just ratcheted up in the last few months. But on the other hand, the church is triumphing. Some of the things that we're seeing are just mind-boggling, really. And so I think it's easy to get discouraged, but that's because we're looking horizontally and not vertically. When we set our minds on things above, where Christ is seated in the heavenly, set our hearts on things above, we're encouraged. We have joy because we realize the kingdom of God is what's important and not all the stuff that's going on right here.
Mm. Would you say our persecuted brothers and sisters can point to events as to why the persecution is ratcheted up? I mean, do they know, oh, that's because of this, or do they attribute it to the times that we're in, or what would you say?
Yeah, it's there's an instability globally. There's a frustration within countries. We can't go to a country, Susie, on the globe where people aren't frustrated with their government. It's universal. Wherever we go, it's Israel, it's Jordan, it's everywhere, Korea, everywhere we go. And so we just long for the government to sit on his shoulders, where there's going to be righteousness and peace, and we yearn for that. So the instability of the government, I think there's something, Joanne and I have had this talk, and you know we've talked about this stuff before, something seemed to shift in the heavens in January of 2020. It seemed like as the coronavirus came in, it's almost as if the Holy Spirit took a step back, and we as believers were able to see the darkness of the world that wasn't being hidden anymore. In fact, it was being boasted about on the news and media, just the evil that's happening with the sexual revolution and so much of the instability around the world. It was just out in the open. Nobody seemed to hide it anymore. In fact, they were bragging about it. And so, hence, there's been a blowback to the church that stands up for righteousness and truth and stands against evil, and we've seen it. So in places like Syria and Iran and Afghanistan, I mean, just look what's happened. Afghanistan now is number one, worst country in the world to be a believer. China's been up there, North Korea, but now it's Afghanistan. And so there was a shifting, I think. I think believers are sensing it, and also sensing that we are moving toward 12 o'clock on God's timepiece, and he's getting ready to come back. So there's sadness at the evil going on, but yet there's an excitement. And one of the things that we've seen, Susie, that is just a beautiful thing, it's very easy for ministries to kind of get competitive, you know, to just their prayer team, their donors, their whatever, their staff. But when Afghanistan blew apart in a weekend, all of the different ministries that work with Muslims were all calling themselves, calling each other. I got calls from Fuad Masri, from Hormoz Sharia to Run Life, all of these different ministries talking about what can we do together? What can we do? This is catastrophic. This is horrible.
Pause right there, if you would, Tom. I'm so sorry. We have to go to break, and I'm holding my breath because I want to hear every word you have to say. So we're going to pick that up when we come back, but we do have to pause here for a quick break, talking to Tom Doyle. And isn't that amazing? You know, it's always when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will raise up a standard against him. And what happened in Afghanistan, as we all held our breaths and watched on the news, just so devastating. We cannot forget about our brothers and sisters in Afghanistan, who now, I mean, you think we've known for so long China was the worst place to be a Christian, and it's not anymore. I mean, it's just, Lord, have mercy. What can we do? We'll talk more about that. But the fact that ministries are coming together is such a beautiful thing. More with Tom Doyle. And we welcome your questions and comments. You can text him in 877-933-2484. More with Tom Doyle in a minute. Tuning in to Susie Larson Live, talking to our good friend Tom Doyle. We're getting an update from the Middle East. Tom Doyle's author of many books. We'll draw a little bit from his compelling, stunning book, Standing in the Fire, Courageous Christians Living in Frightening Times. I'm telling you these stories. I don't want to say they'll keep you up at night because they inspire incredible faith, but I think it might be better to read them a little earlier in the day. Just saying, we've got a few copies to give away. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. And Tom, I hated to cut you off because we had to go to break, so I want you to just kind of reset and start over with this, but you were talking about how, and I so agree with you, when there's competition between ministries, it's not even ministry anymore. It's building, you know, your own kingdom, so to speak. But you do,
so
there
true.
Is a lot of that, you know. But when things fell for Christians in Afghanistan, as we watched all of that unfold on TV, you said suddenly all these incredible Christian ministries to the Middle East really banded together. So take it from there.
It was a horrifying weekend, but it was a thrilling weekend. And as just different presidents of ministries that are making a difference in the Middle East started calling each other saying, what can we do? We've got to come together. And I know you've heard us say this before. If we can put down our egos and our logos, mm-hmm. we can get a lot done for Jesus. Okay. You know, really, what is Uncharted Ministries? What is any of the ministries? It doesn't matter. Jesus is our banner, and that's what we walk under. And to see it happen, it was no wonder that the body of Christ responded the way they did. We weren't even asking for funds. You know, it just people just started sending in funds saying, we know you've worked there. You have had national leaders there. And it's just like, bang, $300,000 came in and safe houses were put up and rescues were happening. But fast forward to today, there are believers on the ground, and it's the second fastest growing church per capita in the world. Afghanistan is. Iran's number one. And imagine being a fastest growing church in Iran when the Ayatollah said he would smash it and obliterate it. It didn't work out too well for him. Afghanistan, number two fastest growing church. And recently, just a couple of weeks ago, we received a picture of a new believer being baptized in a lake. And the bank by the lake is... there's snow all over it, so it's freezing, and he's out in the open, and he had his picture taken. And the reason they had their picture taken is they wanted to send a message to the body of Christ around the world. The church in Afghanistan is not dead. And Jesus said that upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not stand. So it doesn't matter the latest terrorist group. It doesn't matter what countries do to squelch the gospel. The kingdom of God rolls on. And so that picture versus all the negative news stories we've had really outweighed what we were thinking. Like, is there believers there? There are believers there. And there's pastors there. And they're meeting in the middle of the night. And they're switching locations. And they are on fire for Jesus. And you know what? They are some amazing believers that we want to sit down and talk with in heaven someday. Seriously, we want to have those conversations. I think about it this way, Susie. I don't know if it's like this, but do we have just like a gigantic screen and people get to tell their story and someone walks up and says, I'm the guy that was lowered through the roof in Jesus' day and he healed me. And it's like, oh my gosh, I love that story. Yeah, tell us about it. You know, I don't know what it's going to be like, but some of these frontline heroes, oh my gosh, they are passionate for Jesus. And within days, some of them within hours, know that they will suffer for Christ and they'll probably die for him, but it's not stopping them or slowing them down.
That is just absolutely amazing. You know, we've covered the persecuted church a number of times over the years. And what's so interesting is our persecuted brothers and sisters don't want us in the West to be praying for their rescue, like somehow get them out of there and bring them to America. They said that's such a Western mindset. They're saying, why would you ask God to rescue us? Ask God to give us courage. Ask God to give us strength. Yeah. And Steve just wrote in and he says, I've heard Chinese missionaries say that persecution is one of the things that actually made them stronger. And he said, what say you, Tom?
Oh, my gosh. And I've told you about who I'm discipling in the Gaza Strip and Mohammed. And when he prayed to receive the Lord this summer, and we disciple over, Telegram, and we talk every day and sharing scripture and that, I just said to him, Mohammed, I just can't believe how deep you've gone in Jesus. So fast. Some of the prayers you pray would challenge seminarians that are, you know, learning to become pastors. And he said, well, Tom, I have all day to spend time with my four new friends, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We're together all day, and I'm learning from them. I'm just saturating myself in the Word. And I just love that. I just love seeing a transformed person. This was a pretty bad dude just not even a year ago. And what Jesus has done in his life and his willingness to suffer. And he was telling me about what a privilege it would be to suffer. And you know what else he was saying, Susie? He was also saying, I just want you to know I don't hate Israel. I love them. And I pray for them. He's in the Gaza Strip behind a fence. He can't get out. But the love that's invaded his heart and how he's treating his wife and his children, Jesus is so alive in his heart right now. It's just, it's thrilling to see. It's inspiring.
Man, I'm just speechless. I don't even know what to say. And you know, at the same time, because we've had such comfort and convenience in our nation, which I would argue have become idols for us in many ways, but we are, we have had that. To have that disrupted is putting terror in the hearts of many believers in the West. And of course, then you watch things unfold in Canada and, you know, American Christians are like, is that coming here? I mean, what do you say to that? On one hand, you know, I mean, this is a day where I really believe we are going, it's going to be more and more difficult to follow Jesus. And I also believe we're going to see great miracles. But we can't get into fear because we start to make fear reactions then. What do you say?
Well, it's so true. Well, you know, we were privileged that I found the truth to film Mariam and Marzi from Iran that were in Evin prison. They planted 20 churches. They gave out 20,000 Bibles as young 20s girls. They were arrested, went to Evin prison. Everybody said they're dead. They'll abuse them. It'll be terrible. Jesus so protected them. And it's amazing, their whole life story. We filmed them. And if you get a chance, go to ifoundthetruth.com. Wow. Incredible stories. But Marzi and Mariam are here now. They live in America. And do you know that Marzi is running for office in Georgia? She wants people to know that after she came here, got her education, became a U.S. citizen, she has a message and she wants people to know that she didn't have freedom in Iran and she's going to tell them what it looked like. She wants people to fight and be vigilant and protect their freedom here, especially believers in Christ. So how's that for a message?
Wow. And give me the website again. We'll put that on our show notes today.
Ifoundthetruth.com.
Ifoundthetruth.com. On that site. And, wow. We have to pause here. So sorry. We got another hard break. Tom, I'm so sorry. When we come back, I want you to hold that thought because I want you to finish talking to Tom Doyle today. Isn't this just absolutely amazing? We need to keep perspective, friends, don't we? Where we live in that powerful truth of the resurrection Christ, the resurrected Christ, resurrection power alive in us. Lord God, help us to see as you see and say what you'd say and pray as you would pray if you're walking in our shoes today. Talking to Tom Doyle, his book is titled Standing in the Fire, Courageous Christians Living in Frightening Times. I want you to read this book so bad, it's fantastic. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live, talking to my friend Tom Doyle. I love having him on the show. He gives us an update from the Middle East, and he and his wife Joanne have an amazing ministry to the dear people in the Middle East. And their books are just riveting. Every single one reads like a fast-paced novel. Just unbelievable stories of Muslims who are coming to faith in Jesus Christ and how bold and radical they are because it costs them so much to say yes to Jesus. And I want so much for us to rise up in courage. And you know me, I'm honest. Over the years, I've battled varying levels of fear. God has done a deep work in me, but I'm certainly, by no stretch of the imagination, fearless. But I love Jesus and I want so much for him to find faith in me. when he returns. And I think it's, man, one faith step at a time and one dying to ourselves one moment at a time. And Tom, I had to interrupt you because you're going to break, and I don't suppose you remember what you're going to say.
No,
so
I do. Actually,
oh,
I
good.
Do.
Oh, good.
Yeah, thank you. Well, hey, are people hungry today? Are they thirsty for a relationship with God because they're unsettled in what they see around them?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they are. And so we started these videos. We wanted to wake up the body of Christ. We wanted to do what we've done in books, but in video form, and wake up the body of Christ and let them see that we're sounding the alarm. Jesus is moving. But also, these are former Muslims sharing their faith, and they are riveting stories, and Muslims are watching them. So we're not a numbers ministry where we count everything, but as we invested in a lot, got the best stories, did our best to film them well, that we were seeing about 4,000 a month look at these videos. And we thought, okay, it's a start. I mean, we were hoping, Lord, for maybe like 20,000 or something. And so Josh, our son, who runs the ministry, and his team, they tweaked some things. They prayed. They maybe we should try this and relaunched the whole thing. And it didn't go to 20,000. It didn't go to 80,000. We're averaging 185,000 views a month now.
Wow.
And this is around the world, and Muslims are dialoguing with us. And we say it's a safe place, a safe space for Muslims to go and talk about Jesus, you know. And they're not going to be, nobody's going to know, and their emails will be encrypted and all that kind of stuff. And they are asking questions. They're seeing the joy in former Muslims who can speak their language, you know, from Iran or Jordan or the Gaza Strip, and they see it, and they see the passion, and they see the life change, the transformation, and they want it so bad. They just, they want it. So pray for I Found the Truth, everybody, if you would, and look at it and pass it on and share it. If you have Muslim friends, get some if you don't have any, you know, and share it with them. And they will be blessed because they'll just be seeing pure Jesus.
Wow. You've said this on the show before, but that Muslims are coming to faith in Christ in absolute record numbers in these last few years. Yeah. Say more about that.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's happening. I mean, just recently, our leaders in Syria, we put together a Christmas coat drive. You know, there's so many orphans in Syria that and ones that have one parent, usually a mom, that they don't have enough coats for them. And in fact, a lot of the families will have one coat for all their children, and they take turns going outside because it's so freezing in Syria. They only have one coat. And we decided, what if we did a coat drive? We just bought thousands of them. So we did this, and our national leaders in Syria brought together huge groups of people. We bought thousands of coats and gave them a Christmas present. On the first meeting, there were like 300 kids that showed up, and it's for everybody, Susie. It doesn't matter if they're Christian or Muslim or Druze or whatever, all can come. And four branches of the secret police came to figure out what's going on. The national government, the local government, from the mosque, from another regional group. Secret police come and start interviewing our team. What are you doing? Why are you giving these to Muslims? Well, we give them to everybody. It's for orphans. We're just trying to help them. So they actually took two of the leaders and took them in to question them for the entire day. And you can imagine the hanging light bulb, the chair, and they're just interrogating them. Well, that breaks up the meeting, right? I mean, everybody doesn't want to have to mess with the secret police. They came back. The meeting went on. The team never left. They thought, well, we'll probably all get hauled into jail, but we're doing this, and the kids are here. And we have a picture of 300 Muslim kids sitting in there, and Alawites and Druze, receiving jackets, getting candy, singing Christmas carols to Jesus, having the time of their lives. And I just thought, you know, there was no fear there among the team at all that, A, and probably going to get arrested for some of them again, you know, not even a thought. So when the couple that had been questioned all day came back, they were having a great old time. The kids were there and more were coming. And that's our brothers and sisters around the world. And we should be proud of them, because I think this is the one of the church's finest moments. And you mentioned that, you know, those twin idols we have here of comfort and safety. It's easy to fall into that. But, you know, terrorism for us, it got on our radar in 2001, 9/11, right? That's when everybody started hearing about, you know, terrorist names and Al-Qaeda and all that kind of stuff, Hamas. These are people that have lived with it their whole life. They've just known it since they were in the crib. There's good guys and they're bad guys, and the bad guys are really bad guys. And so they just learn to deal with it, and their faith in Christ supersedes any fear that they would have. In fact, like we said in our book, you know, Standing in the Fire, they run into the danger like we should do. They don't run away from it. They figure God's doing something here. That's why it is dangerous. We need to go.
Love this. And Standing in the Fire, you write, in today's world, if we're not careful, we can easily succumb to fear. And when we do, listen to this, friends, we become a slave to it. The problem with living in fear is that besides flying in the face of more than 200 biblical admonitions not to fear, it can cause us to do the very thing we should not do. And, you know, you say more about that, just about running to the roar, because, again, I think many believers who love Jesus so much are being stirred up right now. And they, if they're honest, it's to fear, but they want so much to have faith. What do you say?
Oh, and you know, it's just an example from nature that God gives us, you know, that if a, you know, a zebra wanders off from the pack and gets surrounded by lions, there's a big roar that comes. That's the male lion. And what's the tendency of the zebra? To turn and run the other way. But it's the male lion that discharges this thunderous roar. But it's the lionesses that are on the other side waiting for him to run away from the male lion and then run right into the trap. And, you know, could it be that as believers, we've avoided conflict and all of the danger, and God's calling us to just run to the roar? That's where the action is. And that's what believers in places like North Korea and Saudi Arabia, they're doing that. They're not afraid. Our little couple in Gaza, and I don't know if I even told you about this, Susie, but there's a young couple. We've spoken Women Who Risk about Shireen, who came to faith in Christ because of a computer we gave her in a refugee camp. And then her sister prayed to receive Christ this summer. And you talk about someone that's bold. She was sitting in a coffee shop one day witnessing to her friend in Gaza about what Jesus has done in her life. And her friend kept saying, "You can't talk that loud. We're in Gaza. People are hearing you. You got to tone it down." But she just is so full of Jesus, she couldn't stop. There was a guy at the next table listening to her. And it ends up that he found her the next day and said, "I heard everything in your conversation." And she said, "Were you spying on me?" And he said, "No, I was listening. Because that same Jesus has been coming to me in dreams, too. And he tells me that he loves me." And it ended up that she helped him find his way to faith in Christ and pray the prayer and receive Jesus as Savior. And the story doesn't end there, Susie. They're doing ministry together with underground believers in Gaza, and they're actually going to get married. This is like,
Hallmark. My goodness,
the Gaza Strip. We weren't expecting Hallmark and the Gaza Strip, but I mean, this is like Priscilla and Aquila in the Gaza Strip. If you know, in Fox's Book of Martyrs, we know one thing about Priscilla and Aquila that traveled with Paul. They died together as martyrs for Christ the same day. And I look at this couple and I think they are in the danger zone, and they are not afraid. They'd be willing to die together for Jesus, and they're getting married.
That's amazing. My producer just typed in the chat, "I'd so for sure watch that Hallmark movie."
Isn't that great?
If this were a Hallmark movie, this is one I would watch.
This is one I want to watch. They've asked to do the wedding, and I don't know Hopefully wow. I can do the wedding, but anyway, yeah.
Yeah, well, Tom, you know, again, I love what you said about we cannot get our worldview from the news, because no matter what, you are listening through filters. There's a lot of fear-mongering and all of that, and when we go to the Word of God, we have the Spirit of God in us to speak to us about
yes.
the time. So like you said, read the highlights, lowlights, whatever, know what's going on, but immerse yourself in the Word of God. It seems like more than ever before, we need to immerse ourselves in the Word of God, so it's living and breathing in us as our plumb line. And then we've got to just be assured somehow, some way, that our brothers and sisters around the world, that God is speaking to them too. And there are, you know, macro and micro miracles happening everywhere that they'll never make the news, but they're happening. And I happen to believe, I mean, I have nothing to base this on, it's just maybe my wishful thinking, but I happen to believe in heaven there's going to be multiple movie screens, endless buttered popcorn. And I just think we're going to see one story movie after another of how our lives intersected with each other. You know, like when you gave that money and you sowed those seeds, well, here's the ripple effect of what happened. I think our faith is going to be so ignited when we see how our stories intersected each other. And that's why we can't shrink back right now. We got to rise up, right?
We do. And the fear is so easy. And you know what? That's what the news is meant to do, to put us in a permanent state of fear.
Yeah.
And I just love this in Proverbs, simple verse, Proverbs 2:6, for the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Not from cable news, it comes from the Lord himself. And that's what we need to fuel up on to get ourselves to the point where we can be effective in today's world, because it's gripped by fear. And people are lonely. It's amazing how many people out there with all the affluence in America, 30% of Americans say they're lonely. They don't have a lot of people that they talk
yeah.
to.
Yeah.
Boy,
well, fear and self-preservation and all the self stuff doesn't make us safer. It just doesn't,
no.
you know? And I think we've seen that it only makes you depressed and anxious and more fearful. So I just know that God has an assignment for each of us. And may we hear him and listen for his voice and do what he says. We're going to pause here. When we come back, you also had an update from Pakistan about Christians, some Christians set free from slavery, if I remember that right. And I might ask you to retell the story if you remember it. I don't know if it was last time or the time before that you were on. And it was of these two guys. One of them was getting death threats through a text. And then the two guys are like, let's go pay him a visit, the man who's giving him the death threats. Do you remember what story I'm talking about? And he
oh,
handed
yeah,
him a Bible.
I do.
You know, that story rocked my world. But if you want, but there's time when you got to tell that story too. But when we come back, we'll hear more from Tom Doyle. Wow, appreciate so much the work you and Joanne do. We'll be back in a minute. Lord, thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live, talking to our friend Tom Doyle. Love him and Joanne so much. We get him on every once in a while to get just a faith perspective on the Middle East, what's happening, because they've got a ministry. Tom is actually the president and founder of Unchartered Ministries, and so much going on with you guys and in and through you guys. And we've got a handful of copies of Standing in the Fire to give away. Subtitle is Courageous Christians Living in Frightening Times. I'm telling you, this book will make you hold your breath one story after another. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. So you were going to give us an update on Christians in Pakistan. What do you say?
Yeah, you know, most people don't understand, and we sure didn't, that of the estimated 3 million Christians in Pakistan, 1 million of them are slaves. Many of them had debts where they couldn't pay them, and so they were sold themselves to go into a brick factory, and they make bricks like they did in the Old Testament 4,000 years ago with the Israelites in Egypt, with straw and the mud and all that very poor area that they live in. And so we found out that many of the believers, many of the Christians that had been sold into slavery, it was generational. It had been two or three generations. And so we thought, well, what do they owe, 10 or 20,000 or something? The first one we checked on, $800 is what they owed. And that was it. And they were there for life. And so what we did is we pulled together people that could coach them in business. We got a lawyer that would go in and they would cancel the debt by paying it off, just like Jesus canceled our debt on the cross. They would pay it off. They'd move them to another area. They would have a discipleship teacher that would meet with them throughout the week and a business coach that would help them start a business to provide for their family, like a fruit cart, like fried, they call it fried eatables. they fry up everything and they eat it and they have stands. Six, one was a cobbler. Six families have been freed and they are loving their freedom. For some of them, it was a third generation part of for their family. And it didn't take that much money. But I'm telling you, the pictures we get, the smiles, the thankfulness, and this is happening. It's covered up in the media. But people talk about, you know, prejudice and all of this stuff going on. Oh, yeah, it's happening. It's happening big time in the Muslim world. And most people don't talk about it. But yet they're getting free and Jesus is doing it.
Wow. So is that an active part of Uncharted Ministries for you guys right now?
It is. Yeah. We also have young ladies that become housemaids and young Christian girls, but they clean Muslim houses. They're the ones that have the money, the Christians don't. And so they oftentimes are a target for the man in the house or the boys in the house, and they can get molested and all that. So we decided to do something different. Joanne and her team, they started the Sewing and Stitching Club. And so they go through 15 of them at a time. They learn how to sew. They get discipled. And when they graduate, they're given a brand new sewing machine, and they help them start their own business.
Mm, wow. So if you want to make a difference in the Middle East or you want to see captives set free, maybe look up Uncharted Ministries. What an incredible thing. You write in the book, today's world is violent and pitted against those who follow Jesus, and it's not going to change in our lifetime. But we know the end of the story, and in order to live life full throttle for God, we must say goodbye to fear and look with hope to the future. Before you tell the story I asked you to tell, speak to the person who I know we touched on this fear thing, but listening and just sees that things are being shaken. And really, you know, times as we know them have changed and something has definitely shifted. Yeah. And I don't think there's any going back to, you know, Mayberry or Kansas or whatever. You know what I'm saying? It's like that things have heated up and amped up. So what do you say to that person going, how do I put this fear under my feet?
Yeah, well, you know what? Oftentimes we get this, Susie, and Joanne and I laugh. People say, oh, my gosh, you're so brave doing these things. And we say, you know what? We are not brave people. We're really not. But it's a calling. And Jesus has called us to this generation. He has us here for a reason. It's just not random. Oh, my gosh, we're here, and boy, things got really bad. We're here for a purpose. We're the body of Christ, and he's calling us to stand up and make a difference with our family and friends and those we can. And so it really comes to just saturating yourself with God's word to really imbibe that greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world, and believing it and be willing to live that out each day. So in our flesh, Joanne and we were in downtown Denver one night and we saw the Celtic Women, and I'm Irish and I like the singing, and we came out and there was all these gangbangers and stuff and out there. I said to Joanne, wow, it's really scary here. It was about midnight. And she said, you're scared? You walk in downtown Baghdad at night or Gaza. Why would you be afraid? And then all of a sudden we realized, because we're not called to downtown Denver. We're called to the Middle East. So whatever he calls you to, he equips you for. And he's called us to this generation. And we can trust him to equip us to be ready to make a defense of our faith and really make a difference in people's lives.
Oh, amen. We just got about 4.5 minutes to tell the story, if you're able to tell it in that time.
Okay, let's see how I do. Okay, so Fareed and Joseph, they live in Syria. They live in, there's a city called Homs, H-O-M-S, and they're gospel sharers. Everybody knows them. But there was a man, Rashid, that was so threatened by them that... And he was an Alawite. He was so threatened by that, which is a split-off group from Islam, that he would write them threatening letters. He would text them. He would send emails. He was creative, Susie, telling them the number of ways he was going to kill him. In fact, he put on Fareed's front door 30 ways that he was going to kill him. Mm-hmm. And it was unbelievable. And so finally, Fareed just said to Joseph, as they were in the area, we need to go to his house. And he said, what? He goes, yeah, he does this every day. we need to go to his house. And they knocked on the door. And, of course, because they're Arabs, they have to let you in. They let him in. And Rashid was very nice. And, oh, must be a misunderstanding. I'm not doing that. He's just totally lying through his teeth. But they leave a Bible and said, we just wanted to give you a gift. Now that everything's okay between us, leave you a gift. They handed him a Bible. He picked it up with two fingers, Susie, like it was, a hand grenade or something, and put it to the side on his shelf. Well, it ends up that as soon as they leave, more texts are coming. You think just because you came to my house, I'm going to stop attacking you? I will come and kill you. But it ends up that finally, months later, they go back to their visit, and Fareed just said, I'm tired of all the threats. If you want to kill me, just kill me. And he looked at him and he said, why would I want to kill you? You're a brother in Christ. And he said, what? And he said, the day you left the Bible, I sat in my chair and I read it all throughout the night. And by 6 o'clock in the morning, I knew that Jesus was the Son of God. And I prayed to receive him. And he became a believer. This is like a movie that happens. And the amazing thing is he wrote a letter to the church and all the people that he threatened and apologized. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I cancel every threat I made to Fareed and all of you. Thoroughly comes to Jesus. And what did God do with his life? You know what he did with his life? He had that creative writing ability. He started writing some of the first hymns and praise songs from the Alawite church in Syria.
My goodness. And they sing them today. Okay, I did not know it turned out that way, because the other part of the story, I did not know he came to Christ. What I do remember is when, you know, because he was all nice and hospitable until they handed him the Bible, and as soon as they hopped in their car to leave, they were under heavy gunfire and thought they might die. And his wife is with the underground church. They're weeping and praying, thinking this is the end. They're not going to see. Yeah. She's not going to see her husband ever again. And he comes in and wraps her up in a hug and then tells her, I should take you back. You'd really like him and his wife. And I'm like, what? I don't even understand that kind of courage. But I did not know it ended up that way. That's amazing.
It did, and you know, the amazing thing is that they didn't know, did Fareed order this? Not Fareed, Rashid, did he order this? Or what happened was the Islamic State, they're being chased and bullets bouncing off the car and that, and it ends up that he does take that Bible that night, and the Word of God, living, active, and sharper, pierced his soul, pierced his heart. He's a new believer in Christ.
You know, I almost wonder for us to help us overcome fear with all that's shaking around us and all the uncertainty and all the agendas we see, is if in our prayers by faith, if we could say, you know, because it's like we live by faith, not by sight. So if we could, Tom, start to say, Lord, I want to thank you for my brothers and sisters in China, that you're working miracles there. I want to thank you for my brothers and sisters in Afghanistan, mm-hmm. that you're giving them courage. Thank you by faith for my brothers and sisters in Pakistan, that they're seeing miracles before. You know, I mean, if we start to thank God by faith, we pray for them too, but also thank him that he's answering prayers. I wonder if that would bring some courage to our own hearts, you know?
You know what? And true, Susie, that is so true. And pray along the headlines, like right now, be praying for the body of Christ in the Ukraine, you know, pray for the body of Christ in Russia that doesn't want any of this conflict, but it's going to happen. And just use the headlines to be a prayer prompt, because daily you're going to see things fly across the screen, Syria, Gaza, Iran, whatever. And wow, that's just a reminder, a built-in reminder for us to just be praying for our brothers and sisters in harm's way.
One last question. I've got about a minute left. What do you sense for America? What's your sense?
I think there's a lot of fear and confusion, and we've never been as angry at each other. You just see both sides of everything, and we need just a big, amazing Jesus movement that will unite the church, put them relevant into the, you know, put it, make us relevant to the all people, and reach out with the love of Christ. The solution is not political, it's spiritual.
Amen. Well, Tom, please come back again soon, because we appreciate your work and we appreciate just the updates so very much. Please greet Joanne for me. Thank you for joining us
today. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Love and appreciate you. Tom Doyle, friends, and his book that we're talking about today is Standing in the Fire. We drew from that a little bit. But check him out. Check out the ministry, Uncharted Ministries. I pray you found some encouragement here today. I pray you're ignited in your prayers and in your faith. God is moving all over the earth, and we need to rejoice and stand firm in our faith. He is going to remain faithful. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Suzy Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.